But we were glad to have you here today. Bert is out this Sunday, so you've got me. My life continues to change. Judah is just growing up. He's getting crazy now. His favorite thing to do right now is to run and like basically power open doors. And so my family is now closer than I ever imagined that we would be, because it doesn't matter what door it is, he's just excited to open it. So our family is just, we're having a blast with him, and we're glad to be here. Still at Chennault. So the title of my lesson this morning is Be the Light. And it's this topic that I picked because I've become obsessed with a TV show. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I love this passage in Matthew chapter 5. It's encouraging and it's challenging and it's simple and also like difficult as well. Because when I was a kid, when I read Matthew chapter 5, specifically the passage about being the light, I always thought that God just wanted us to walk around with flashlights. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you don't ever hear what the implications of being light means. I remember always just thinking like, okay, I've got my flashlight and it's going to be fantastic and that's what it means to be a Christian. But I think that God gives us something more to chew on. And as we enter into this, let's read Matthew chapter 5. Go ahead and go to scripture. You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This verse, these verses here in Matthew chapter 5 have challenged me a lot lately, because I've seen a connection to a recent Netflix television show. Let me go ahead and pull up that slide. Last Chance U. How many of you guys have seen the show? Excellent. So I'm going to go ahead and, my audience, my people. I'm going to go ahead and give a disclaimer. This is a show, it's a documentary about a football program in East Mississippi. Do not watch it with your small children. And because I don't want to have a conversation about what those words mean, but it is a behind-the-scenes look at a football program. So just a disclaimer before we dive into this. But it's a show that came out about a month or two ago, and I'm fascinated by it. It's called Last Chance U, and what it does is they follow East Mississippi Community College. Now, that, at first glance, is extremely random and weird that Netflix would say, okay, let's figure out a place that we would like to go, and they decided to go to East Mississippi Community College. It's in a place called Scuba, Mississippi. If you've never heard of Scuba, Mississippi, it's because it's Scuba, Mississippi. The closest Walmart is about 45 miles away. Recently, Whitney and I were driving through Mississippi, and I begged her, like, please just let me stop in Scuba, Mississippi. And it was even so far out of our way that at that point, I was like, this isn't even worth it. Like, we don't need to go to Scuba, Mississippi. But East Mississippi Community College is there. And what's unique about this school is that this football program currently has 9 NFL players, which is outstanding. If you follow NFL, and I'm not going to try to get too deep into sports talk, but that's more than any Division I program in the nation has. So there's something that's unique about this school. It's what it is, it's a beautiful thing, is they take in all the guys that have basically been disqualified, kicked off, they've been rejected. They've got players that they couldn't meet the academic requirements of their Division I school. They've got players who, for some reason of disciplinary action, were kicked off the team. You've got guys that just, they've been dealt a really rough hand in life, and they didn't make the cut. And so they find themselves at East Mississippi Community College in Scuba, Mississippi, playing football. And when you watch this show, if you step away from some of the curse words that are in it, because it is a football program, but when you step away from that, you see these relationships that you get attached to. Like, there are certain guys in the show that you're rooting for the entire time. I mean, the whole time you're like, I just want this guy to make it. And what these guys are doing is basically for a semester, they're pouring their heart out on the field just so they get a glimpse at another Division I offer. There's one of the quarterbacks on the team is actually playing for Auburn right now. And so like these guys actually make it to these other programs. But the two characters in my mind that really stuck out to me, and it's an academic advisor named Brittany Wagner and a defensive lineman named Ronald Ollie. And we're going to watch a clip in just a moment, not yet, but of those two, of an interaction between those two. But Brittany Wagner, if you've ever been in an academic institution where no one cares about academics, you feel for this lady. Because she's basically up against this football team who does not care at all about basically junior college level classes. And she's following these guys. She's hounding them. The first day of class, she gives every football player pencils and paper. And I mean, I don't want to spoil the show for you, but how many of those guys do you think had pencil and paper on the first day? Zero. None of them care about school. And so you've got this academic advisor who just pours her life and her work, and I think her soul too, into these students because she wants them to succeed. And so over and over and over again, you get these amazing interactions of this academic advisor who is up against all odds with these guys, constantly trying to push them to the next level. And it's beyond football for her too. Like, she just wants to see these guys make it. And the other character that stood out to me the most was a guy named Ronald Ollie. I've become so obsessed with this. Like, I've Googled these guys, and I've even, like, found them on Twitter and stuff because I'm just obsessed with their stories. Ronald Ollie is a defensive lineman. He's from Wayne County, Mississippi. He, for a tragic event, lost both parents at the age of 5. He literally has, like, the world up against this guy. And when you look at his backstory, there's no reason he should even be, like, where he is right now. But the reason that he's where he is right now is because people have, I think, and what we see in Matthew chapter 5, have become the light of the world to him. They've shown this individual light in a world of darkness. And because of that, because people have been willing to pour their lives into other people, he has a chance. He has a hope. Now, the clip that we're going to watch, I've screened it. It's been edited, so you're cool, and I don't want to get fired today anyway. But that's not what I wanted for Labor Day weekend. But the clip that we're going to watch today is, this is going to sound weird, but it's Ronald Ollie finding out that he received his first A. Now, I know a lot of y'all, like, an A isn't a big deal, but it is to this kid. His whole life, he's been told, you're not smart. The only way that you're going to make it is if you play football. And so this clip is just, I've watched it 1,000 times. I think I've showed the staff 1,000 times. The teens have already watched this too. Like, I'm so encouraged by this. But let's watch this clip about what it looks like when somebody becomes the light of the world to somebody else. Let's go ahead and play it, Miles.
My heart will break for Ronald Ollie if he doesn't have that 2.5 GPA and he's not eligible for D1. Because I have no idea what that kid will do. Like, there is no plan B.
My average is? Oh, man.
What's his average?
89.
Are you going to round it up?
I always do.
You made an A! You made an A, Ollie?
Oh, man. It's crazy.
You did it.
Yeah.
You did it. How many hours do you spend in that office?
Too many.
Too many.
You got family here, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Always. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. All right. I'm gonna be back. I made an A.
You made an A?
I made an A. I made an A in comp 2. I made an A. Stop making my back go out. I'm gonna make my back go out.
You made an A, Ollie?
Ooh.
That's the clip. I love that. I don't know, like I said, I know only a few of you have seen the show, and I would encourage you to watch it, not with your small children. But what is so encouraging to me about that is when you see what happens when somebody enters into another person's life. Like the change that you can make. I don't know how many defensive linemen that play Division I that you've been around, but I don't remember a lot of them skipping around and jumping up and down in a hallway because they got an A. But the only reason that he feels that joy is because somebody entered his life and said, I care about you. I think at its core, Matthew 5 is not about holding flashlights or stringing cool lights in our house. I think it's about pouring our lives into other people. When Matthew writes that you are the light of the world, a city on a hill, neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl, and so they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. I see that in this relationship between Brittany Wagner and Ronald Ollie. Like, she doesn't hide her joy. She doesn't hide her care. She doesn't hide how she wants this person to make it, but she has become a lampstand, something that gives light. That the Greek language here that we're getting here is about, like, receiving light and giving light. And so what we see in Matthew chapter 5 is that encouragement to not just be light, but to give light. And there's something really beautiful that happens there. Now, it's easy to look at the story and to say, okay, this is completely different. Like, this is a lady who her one job is to be an academic advisor for these football players. Like, she clearly cares about them. She clearly wants to do a good job. She clearly wants the best for these students. But, like, how does that relate to me? I said earlier, like, I really thought, like, being a light was, like, literal, like, just showing people around in the darkness. But I think it has to do with how we live our lives specifically. And I know it's really hard because I know, again, that's it's easier said than done. But you have this woman who, this is, again, this is her job. And a lot of us are strapped for time. I know that. We're busy with work. We're busy with school. We're busy with our families, too. And so how do we find situations where we can pour into people's lives? Even as a minister, like, I find myself, like, the hardest word for me is to say no. And it kills my family sometimes because there are moments in my life where I know that I need to say no, but I want to pour into. And so how do we find out how to be light to people when we're strapped with time? I think that's when we turn it over to God. I think that's when we allow God to work through our lives instead of us taking over and us trying to solely be the light, allow God to be the light in our lives. We have to give it over to God. One of my favorite pastors in this world is Burt Reynolds. And then the second one is a guy named John Weiss. I say that contractually. I'm just playing. I love Burt. But one of my favorite pastors in this world is a guy named John Weiss. And he's in Lexington, Kentucky. He's South and Christian. He's a fantastic pastor. He wrote the books Jesus Prom and then Me Too. I recommend these books wholeheartedly to you guys. They're fantastic. They're encouraging and they're relatable too. But in his most recent book, Me Too, he said this, Miles, if you could pull it up. When you place a welcome mat at the entrance of your heart, Jesus moves in and expands your capacity to care for other people. He adds square footage by renovating and ripping out any tendency in us to compete against people. Then he furnishes it with a desire to celebrate people. I love this word, celebrate. I want to celebrate everything that we do as people. There is enough competition in our world, but there isn't enough celebration. I want to read that last thing too. Then he furnishes it with a desire to celebrate people. There is enough competition in our world, but there isn't enough celebration. I've read this book several times, and I keep coming back to this specific language. Because a lot of times in life, I look at these situations where I know that I want to pour into somebody's life. I know that I want to maybe go deeper in this relationship and help this person. But I find myself saying, I don't have time. I'm strapped for time. I've got too much going on at work. I've got too much going on at home. I've got other commitments that I've got to keep. This is where I think that relationship with God comes in. We're not working for God. We're working with God. Or if we allow God to take control and to take over, then God, I believe, as John Weiss says, when you place a welcome mat at the entrance of your heart, Jesus moves in and expands your capacity to care for other people. I don't know exactly how he does it, but I know it's true. I know that if we allow Jesus to work in our lives, he will do amazing things. And this is where it comes down to that relationship too of, I don't have enough time. I'm already overcommitted. We allow it to be given to God. God can work through those moments and those people. I think this is evident in what we see in 1 John chapter 1. It's written, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. There's that working with God versus working for God. If we claim to be in the light, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship not only with one another, but with the blood of Christ. There's something that goes on that happens in our lives, in our minds, in our actions, in our thoughts, when we allow that relationship to be nurtured and to be cared for. I think that's what being light means. Working with Jesus, allowing Jesus to take control of our lives so that we may be the light of the world, as Matthew writes in his gospel, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's such a beautiful translation here too. But we can go ahead and go to the picture here. This is one of my favorite paintings in the world. It's by Vincent van Gogh, 1889. A lot of you guys know this story, probably this context too. Vincent van Gogh painted this, a lot of people believe, during a period of frustration with the church. To give a backstory of where I'm trying to go with this, Vincent van Gogh was rejected twice by the church. If you've ever kind of dated in middle school and you got rejected once, that was usually enough, move on. But Vincent van Gogh came back and he was actually rejected twice. It had a lot to do with kind of his missionary ideas and understandings of how he wanted to reach people, but the church rejected him twice. And a lot of people believe that Vincent van Gogh painted the Starry Night painting as his way of saying, take this church. If you notice the painting, it's very beautiful. You've got the Starry Night. But if you look specifically at the village, a lot of the homes are lit up. But the one thing that's not lit up in the painting is the church, the cathedral there in the middle. The windows of it are actually dark. There's a house close to it that's lit up. But it's believed that he painted this as a way of saying, the light of the world is not in the church. Now, it's a pretty dark way. I'm not going to end the sermon on that. But because it's a pretty dark message. And I believe it's probably where he was going with it because he was very frustrated with the church. And we know that a lot of these painters did kind of secret messages and stuff like that in their paintings. But what I see in this is, yeah, the lights of the church are out, but the lights in the village are on. I find encouragement in the fact that nobody's at the church because everyone else is living out their lives outside. They're being the light of the world, not just specifically at the church, but in their daily lives. They're being the light of Christ at work, at home, when they're eating lunch, or when they're doing whatever they do. I find a weird sense of encouragement in this painting because I see that. See, you maybe look at this and say, oh, that stinks at the church, the lights are off and it's dark. But I look at it as because the people are out doing what God has called them to do. They're being generous with their lives. They're loving other people. They're being the light of Christ in their day-to-day life. And to go back to that last chance you thing, I know it's a weird thing to find the gospel in a Netflix video documentary that has nothing to do with the gospel, but I see it in the way that woman engages in Ronald Ollie's life. The reason that he makes it is because somebody cared enough to say, I want to be light in a world of darkness to you. I love the way the message translates the passage we looked at this morning. And it reads, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Next verse. Keep an open house. This is the part that I love. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. I love that italicized line, to be generous with your lives. That's the hardest thing in this world to do, isn't it? Because we guard our time, we guard what we do, but God constantly in Scripture calls us to be generous with our lives. I've said it before from here, I say it in the youth class as much as possible. I believe that God puts people in our lives every single day so that we can love on them, so that we can show them the light of God, so that we can show them how much God loves them. I think God puts those people in our lives. And you're probably thinking of that one person right now that you're afraid to talk to, or maybe it just hasn't come up yet, that you know in your heart something's there that makes you want to say, hey, I just want to tell you what I believe in. I don't know if that's a weird conversation to have or not, but just there's this itch within you that makes you think, I should say something or do something for this person that lets them know how much God loves them. And I think we see that over and over and over again in the gospel, that God calls us to that. When we get this line here that Eugene Peterson translates about being generous with our lives, that is what God is calling us to do, not to be selfish, but to be giving. I know it's easy to guard our time, and I do it too. But I hope this week that I look at these passages, and I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. I hope that I see the scripture here in Matthew 5, and I'm encouraged for the people that I encounter on a daily basis to say, hey, I just want to tell you a little bit about that. And I don't know how you get to that conversation. It's different with each and every person. But I believe God puts those people in our lives to challenge us to say, are you going to be a light to that person? I mentioned John Weiss earlier, and I want to close on one of his quotes that's captivated my existence for a while now. And towards the end of his book, he starts talking about fireflies. And I love fireflies, too. When I was a kid, my grandma, we could catch fireflies, but we had to let them go. Like, we couldn't. There were a lot of mean kids that would squish them, and they're probably, like, in, like, you know, homes or something like that. I don't know. But we were just allowed. We could catch them for a little bit, and then we'd watch them glow up in our hand, and they would just fly away, and it was awesome. But the coolest thing to us as kids was when we would catch them, we would watch to see when they lit up. But the coolest thing was they never lit up at the same time. See, I think a lot of times in church, we think that we've all got to be on the exact same page to do what God is calling us to do. But that's the beautiful thing about fireflies, is they all light up at different times. Some are bright, some are not so bright, some light up for an extended period, the others just go away like that. And I think that's what God is doing in all of us, is something different, something unique. See, we don't always have to be the biggest or the brightest lights. I think it's easy to think that. I know in youth ministry, like, you want to be the loudest and coolest youth minister, and I'm possibly the loudest, but not the coolest by any means. I can't grow facial hair. That's a downfall in youth ministry. But a lot of times in life, like, we feel that we have to be the biggest and the brightest. But hear this, I think God just calls us to be the closest. I don't think God really cares if we're the biggest or brightest lights in the room. He just wants us to be the closest to the person that we're next to. And that's all it takes. It doesn't have to be this extravagant gesture of light. I think you just got to be the closest. I take a lot of encouragement from Matthew chapter 5 because I think it's a beautiful, simple text that can change our lives forever. And so when I read this one more time and then we'll stand and sing, I just want you to think about that. You don't have to be the biggest or the brightest. You've just got to be the closest. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's stand and sing.